Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Ruben Almada, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 275, 275, for those people that can't understand numbers just said out loud and need to hear them out as words. What am I talking about so quickly? Session 275 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And I pulled mine away before Rocky put his up there because you're too slow, Rocky.
Sorry. If you will, the listener questions that I haven't read yet.
It was dismantled. it was poorly timed, but we did it anyway. We are here, and I have just been informed there's football this week, and I am just gosh darn thrilled about it. And it's the still looks terrible. I haven't for people that can't see, because first of all, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us as we record. We got a couple people hanging with us. I got an on-air sign, like a little like neon sign. But the problem is when I light it up, it's just a blur of light.
It just looks like a big rectangle.
It's like a fluorescent light. And I did something that got my camera out of focus, so I was hoping
It almost got there.
Yeah, it almost came in, but then it went away again.
But when you turn the light off, you can read it just fine.
Yeah, it works better that
way. I think it works.
We are not a full-on visual thing going on here, so we'll stop talking about that. But before we start talking about anything, hey, Ruben, how's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. You know what? No, Rocky, this is your guest. You do it. I don't want to do this. You do this.
You love making me do this when I bring the guests along. Okay, Ruben, it's time for a little interview for our first-time guest. So
yeah.
How long have you been playing? First, tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
There you go. I was about to say.
You've definitely forgotten that.
I would never mess up anything of my podcast.
Ruben Almada at SuperflixDGen on Twitter. I have also have a podcast called Coast to Coast Dynasty Podcast with my co-host Justin Mercer.
Woo-hoo!
Live in California, so on the West Coast, and Justin's on the East Coast, so hence the Coast to Coast. But does make it challenging to find times that work for everybody to record a podcast when you're not anywhere near the same time zone.
When I started Dynasty Junkies, me and Dustin on the West Coast, Dustin made it 30 or so episodes, and that was it.
It's rough.
I got an East Coast partner for the podcast.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's rough, but that's me.
Okay, so how long have you been playing fantasy? I forgot it was me again. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've probably been playing fantasy since 98, 99, right around there.
Okay, and what about Dynasty?
Dynasty, I started in 2016.
Okay, so still a pretty good amount of time for both.
Yeah.
So in that time you've been playing Dynasty, give us some of the best or worst trades you've made.
Oh.
A
little bit of both. It's hard to remember. When I trade now, I just kind of make the trade and then move on and kind of forget about it a lot. But I did trade like 2 years ago, I think it was. I traded Julio. I think it was when he went to the Titans for a future first that ended up being the 101. So that's amazing. That was great. But then I really messed up the pick and took Malik Willis because
the rookie pre-NFL draft.
Yes, the rookie drafts. Well, the rookie draft starts the morning of the NFL draft.
Oh, in that
league. And it's an 8-hour clock. So 8 a.m., you're not going to make it kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, I thought I knew everything because I had first two picks actually. And, I thought I knew what I was doing. So I was like, I'm going to take both my two picks and then put the pressure on number three to make a pick before everything kind of deal. But so that was a good trade that ended up not being so bad. Oh, you took it too? What's that?
It was two.
I took Breece.
Breece. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
But it was okay. But some of the bad ones, oh God, I try to forget those, but I'm sure I've done some really atrocious ones. I know, like,
if you forget them, you're doomed to repeat them.
Yeah, right. I know I traded Odell, like, when he was really good for not enough kind of deal at one time. And it was like right after the startup, I didn't know what I was doing. It was like my second league, just made a disaster of it and ended up scrapping it and rebuilding really, really quick. I think I was started rebuilding before the season even started.
Okay, and we'll finish up. What is your guiding principle in trading, Ruben?
Try not to lose the trade. Actually, no, I'm just. But no, I try to. I'm looking always to improve my value wise kind of deal. I've become a portfolio player over the last 3 or 4 years, so I don't have enough time to sit there and look at my team plus look at somebody else's team.
How many leagues are you in?
31, I think. And that's plus
almost caught up to me.
plus a couple, you know, the redraft with Scott Fish and then the Mirror League. And then I think I'm at 30 or 31, something like that. And then, I think you just try to get the value you can, right? And try to incrementally improve the team is my thing.
Ruben's co-host is in the chat. Justin said, best trade for Ruben, worst for Justin. Terrace Marshall for Debbie's second that turned into Anthony Richardson.
See, that's why you never look back and see like what the pick turned into, because it'll never make you happy.
Yeah.
Like very rarely is it, oh, I made this trade. I gave up my first, but the guy took Jalen Reagor, so it's fine. It's always, I traded up. I took Reagor. He got Jefferson. And
you'll feel better, Ruben, when Anthony Richardson is a crappy passer and is probably not starting in 2 years.
Yo, calm yourself. How many of these shows do you need that just turn into let's start yelling at Rocky?
There's never enough. But that finishes up the interview, so I'm turning it back over to you, Russ.
Sweet, let's move on. All right, well, there's news with such heavy air quotes but we still got to kind of talk about it a little bit. So Jonathan Taylor is demanding a trade, and Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, said no. And then it's like, hey, trade me. No. And then they just sort of sit there awkwardly. Cause what happens after that?
Nothing.
And the real unfortunate truth is, like, I remember this popped up a couple of days ago and people started making like, oh my God, Jonathan Taylor's asking for a trade. Like, this is going to be literally every good running back at the end of their rookie contract, at the end of any contract, because
they have no leverage though.
No one's going to trade for a running back to pay.
No, because you have to pay him. You got to trade him and then you got to pay him.
Exactly. Like, there are a few that are worth it. Like, Saquon is worth giving money to. I think Jonathan Taylor is worth giving money to. But as a position, and they're starting to realize it, like, it's taken longer than I thought it would, but, like, or at least they're just getting vocal about it, which I assume is the actual case. It's rough. Like, they need, like, the opposite of the rookie wage scale. Like, they need their first contract to be loaded because they're not going to get a second one.
No, and they're never going to get any, like, people are talking about they're going to renegotiate, they need to renegotiate in the CBA for the running backs. That's never going to happen.
Players themselves have such little leverage in general because...
The only one that have leverage is quarterbacks.
Now, I hear what everyone is thinking in their heads. Okay, in a perfect world, in a perfect world, the players all hold out and they do a system where the players that make the most money put a pool together where it gets spread out to the players who don't make as much money. Because never. That's the only way it would happen. That's the only way they could do it. Because, yeah, well, I guess I can't use Tom Brady as an example anymore. But, like, Patrick Mahomes can sit out for a year. It doesn't matter. He still has hundreds of millions of dollars waiting for him. There are dudes whose jobs are on the line every single day. They're not going to sit out. You know, like...
Yeah, look at any of your local unions or anything. They go on strike, and there's always people that cross the picket line just because they can't afford...
Yeah.
Who sits, go on the picket line. Yeah. It's their livelihood. It's their money. It's not. And, you know, people will say, if you start saying this, that you're all for the teams and the owners. And it's no, it's just like, I'm looking at it from a business standpoint, and the owners were never going to do that. And, do with that. And it's the last thing on their mind. You know, the last CBA, if you look at the last CBA, the players wanted less practice, and they wanted stuff for weed and stuff like that. And the owner's like, okay, but we want another game. And bingo. So they got what the owners really, the owners don't care if you practice less a week. They don't care. So, and it's, I think I was listening to somebody else talk about that. JC Treader was on a podcast, and he said that the RB situation is not even close to near the top of the players union's concerns.
Well, of course it can't be, because they have to worry about all of the players. And while running backs are featured in offense, they're a very small percentage. And again, unfortunately, not the largest money makers. So their concerns are going to not be held as highly as, well, we have Mahomes and Josh Allen and, you know, Jalen Hurts upset about something. So we're going to listen to what they're upset about because they make a lot of money.
Yeah, and it's not the NFL of the 90s where Emmitt Smith holding out and where those players where the game was run through their running backs, right? Nope. It's a different NFL.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's not going to change because what the owners are doing is the right way to handle it, unfortunately, for the running back, like, from an NFL football team
from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
From a business standpoint.
I don't remember the number, how long ago it was, but it was over X number of years. I heard this because I'm an Eagles fan. I was on an Eagles show on the sports radio. They spent like the second least amount of money on running backs, and they've been like a consistently good franchise for like the last 30 years. And you don't need to spend money on running. They won a Super Bowl with like Garrett Blunt and Jay Ajayi. Like, you don't need running backs to win. And they're not as big like Russ. They're not as big of money makers, as big of faces of the league, even either. So like, why are you going to pay them all this money when?
100%.
Yeah, you don't need to.
When was the last time that a team won the Super Bowl with a quote unquote stud running back?
Yeah.
Well, the Seahawks lost it because they didn't trust theirs.
That's true.
No, they thought they trusted their quarterback was the problem.
They thought they would outsmart Bill Belichick was really their problem.
Yeah,
that was. We're not going to talk about that anymore. All right. So does anything change for JT with you right now? Like, I know we try and like build drama with Saquon and Jacobs holding out, and I don't think Jonathan Taylor's there.
I think there could be a little bit different than the other ones, just because of the owner's outspokenness and some of the things that he's said, kind of deal. But and then the talk of, you know, trying to put him on the NFI, right? Non-football injury kind of deal. Yeah. So that playing that game. And so that could kind of cause some concerns there. He only has to play 6 games this year, and then he accrues a year. So he could just play 6 games. So that does worry me. You know, does he come and play when push comes to shove? He's playing week one, and then that, because that team's not going to be good, probably, more than likely. And so plays the first 6 games and shelves himself and accrues and becomes a free agent next year, or probably gets tagged actually. And, but gets 1 year closer to that. Cause if he doesn't play this year, he's got to do this again for another 2 years after that versus just one more year. So I think it is, if you're in a win now and you can pivot off of him for, you know, somebody, I saw a trade earlier today that was JT for Aaron Jones and a future first. So, I mean, if you can,
it's cheap.
It is cheap, but you've got to be insulate yourself and try to protect yourself a little bit. That because if he doesn't play, if he plays the first six games and doesn't play the rest of the season when he's not there for the playoffs, kind of deal. I mean, I don't know if it really changes a lot, but I think you got to be very cognizant of what is going on there versus like the Jacobs and Barkley situation.
Yeah, I think it's different. Sometimes those guys are tagged. As much of a scaredy cat as I am, because like I want to go buy Jonathan Taylor. I've wanted to buy Jonathan Taylor, and I tried once or twice, but paying for running backs is like against everything I believe in. But I tried and it never worked. And now that there's like added to it, like I'm just even more terrified to try.
Yeah. I mean, I usually don't try to buy running backs either, especially now, because anything can happen between now and when the season starts. Exactly. And then you're set left holding the bag. But I do think it's a difference that, you know, he does not have, they're on their fifth year option, or they were, or the tag, you know, Jacobs didn't get tagged. Jacobs got tagged.
They're both on the tag.
Yeah. And Barkley's safe now. He's going to be playing. I think Jacobs ends up playing too. I think he shows up, you know, Monday of week one and suits up and is ready to go kind of deal. I'm team, you know, Rocky on that. Rocky said every time when somebody holds out that, oh, they're playing, people are worried. I'm like, be worried, because they're going to play. They're not, they have no leverage to just not play. So, but JT's, I think, is a little bit different just from the way the owner's acting, because you never can trust Jim Irsay on what he might do. He's crazy. Legit.
All right.
This is true.
So, because we're just going to be talking in circles, and it's going to make me want to go offer trades for Jonathan Taylor, and then I'm going to chicken out and not be able to hit the button. So we're going to move on. So this is the part where, Ruben, we ask our guests, which do you want to do first, Trade Addicts trades or listener questions?
Let's go with the listener questions.
All right, the first one, at the Fantasy Moose, are you finally getting any sleep after the SFB 13 drafts are over? Appreciate you, man. All right, well, I guess this one's at me. I didn't have to wait until they were over. The second they began, I was off the clock. Like, it's like I was just talking to Justin Peake, who's one of the dudes that have been just warriors when it comes to actually setting up all of the actual leagues and the mirror leagues and making sure and no one clocked out, like times out. And if they do, they have to be replaced. Like, I remember looking at that chat and be like, I'm glad I'm not paying attention to this.
I'm sure they had some work to do in my league.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I was done when it started. The second the draft started, and like I was the 101, so I made my pick right away, and I'm just like, click.
I was the 101 as well. What did you do?
I went with Mahomes. I went with the safe route.
Rocky, were you one? I went Hurts.
I was 107. I took Fields.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that seven area is like, if you're lucky, if Lamar makes it to you, if not, you're taking Fields
because of the points per carry.
All right. Well, we have jerks in our Patreon in our chat right now, where when I was during the news, someone brought up that Cooper Kupp left practice early Tuesday with trainers and did not return. Head coach Sean McVay did not have any updates regarding status or what happened when he spoke to reporters. And I replied instantly, I'm going to willingly ignore this because I don't want to hear about it.
Setting up breakfast plans for tomorrow with Stafford.
Like, that's really what it is. Like, first of all, well, I thought we were further away from football, but apparently it's happening this week, which is great, even though it's the Hall of Fame game. But, like, yeah, like, it's funny. Like, you see someone gets carted off, and usually it's like a fourth, fifth-year veteran, and they're just like, I twisted my ankle. I don't feel like walking. Give me the cart. And it's just like, all you read is Garrett Wilson carted off or something, and you're just like, oh, well, his season's over. My year's over. Let's just, no, that's it. I'm screwed.
Sell everything.
So, like, I will not, like, I do my best to just completely ignore camp stuff, and even head coaches, like they're begging for me in here to talk about Pete Carroll talking about Charbonnet being out indefinitely and Walker being week to week. I do not trust Pete Carroll with anything ever.
No. Honestly, even worse than that, it's just the when coaches say this guy is doing great, or you know, and then that gets blown up. Yeah.
Well, that's gonna be a question later, and
we're gonna use this guy a whole lot, and then he gets like, you know, 10% of the snaps all year.
Well, there was a perfect one today. There was a video of Jalen Hurd in New England catching a touchdown, and it gets out, comes out like on a tweet, and then like 30 minutes later, he's retired.
That was his goodbye present. Yeah,
apparently, I don't think it was a hello either as a Niners fan.
So I'm going again, completely willfully ignoring this though. Yes, Tim Patrick. I mean, he's that done. Dude's career has to be over, right? Yeah, like that's what, third year in a row.
I already dropped him where I had him.
I don't know exactly what happened, but I know he got carted off. And it's a serious injury.
Achilles. It's Achilles.
Yeah. Oh, poor dude.
After ACL last year.
Yep.
So good for no, like, for no reason. That dude was just too good.
And yeah, he was way better than people think Tim Patrick is.
Yeah, the name didn't fit how good he was.
Well. Yeah.
His name was two first names. Just like, I love it.
All right, so let's move on to the next question. At C2C Dynasty, like, am I supposed to say Dynasty Merc? Because, like, I want to say Merce, because
Merce.
I think he says Merce, on the podcast.
All right, good.
He says Merce.
Because, like, I read it as Merc, but I'm like, no, that's Mercer. Like, okay, so good. At C2C Dynasty Merce. Why is the Dynasty community as a whole down on George Pickens? What does he need to do in order to flip the narrative? And, I was super, super lazy. And I'm just like, I can't think of anything, any good questions. Just tell me something fun about yourself. And he says, although I'm a Dynasty fantasy football addict, basketball is my first love. And I actually coach K2 boys basketball. It's funny. Like, I used to have those like dreams of like coaching my kids and things. Of course, neither of my kids like sports whatsoever, but like, and then all of a sudden, like the responsibility of that would hit me. And I'm like, I don't want that. like I just want a bunch of kids calling me coach and get to like have fun and watch kids play sports and have it not be weird that I don't have a kid playing sports, but I'm watching them play. So George Pickens, well, I feel like Justin knows how you feel, Ruben. So we're going to go first on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I think he needs consistency. I think we are scared of the offense and we are burned from Chase Claypool, who came out looking like he was going to be the real deal. And then he was for two games on the opposite sides of the season. Like, cool. He caught four touchdowns and then did absolutely nothing until another game where he caught two touchdowns. And like, it's the problem. Like, we also got like burned out by like Odell and a lot of these highlight players where, of course, Odell for a while was doing really, really well for fantasy in general. But like George Pickens, who probably, if he wasn't, I think the phrase people love using, if he wasn't such a knucklehead, would have been drafted earlier in both NFL and in fantasy drafts. But he is who he is. But I think we just need to see that offense play a little better and him to get consistent targets instead of just getting on highlight reels with ridiculous catches, which we know he's capable of. Like, that's, and like, I think he's very, very good. It also at the point was a matter of price. His dynasty value started to hit that. Well, this was his potential and I'm not paying the price for his potential because it can't go up from there. And it's like, his question is, why are we so low? Which means it's fallen back down. But I think at this point, that's what it is to me. It's that offense, which I just hope gets better for the sake of NFL, because too many bad offenses. So we don't need the Steelers to be bad. And I think just seeing consistent targets, I think, would probably change people's mind, and probably pretty quickly. I think we see 4 or 5 straight gains, and not, he doesn't even have to do that well. But if he can get like 8 to 10 targets a game, 4 to 6 catches, get a touchdown or two, I think people start thinking him at least as a wide receiver too, which is a step up from where they probably are right now.
Yeah, you mean, excuse me, it's two words, and you kind of alluded to it, but you kept saying that offense, it's Kenny Pickett. It's like everyone.
It's also the line, man. The line is very bad. I'm trying to be a little politically nicer about it.
But I do think
people, I know, don't... Kenny listens, and I don't want to hurt his feelings.
I do think that's a big part of it, though.
Well, you should have had me on then, because I'm brutally honest.
A lot of people do not believe in Kenny Pickett. I am one of those people.
I do not believe in Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look, I mean, Deontay is, like, at an all-time low in terms of value as well. I mean, part of that's he didn't have a touchdown last year, which was just totally random and it's not going to happen again. But a part of the reason he had no touchdowns last year is because of Kenny Pickett. So I think that's basically what it boils down to here. And you're right, the line is an issue too. But I just think no one has any faith that offense will perform.
They didn't make any changes because of Kenny Pickett. Yeah. They didn't. Everybody was hopeful that they were going to fire the OC. And if they
upgraded the line a little bit.
Yeah, but they were hopeful that they would fire the offensive coordinator. If they fire the offensive coordinator, we'd probably have some more hope for that offense. There would be a new and rejuvenated offense and kind of getting after it. There's a lot of mouths to feed there too between Freiermuth and Najee and Deontay and Pickens, and I'm sure there's a third wide receiver that's going to be good at some point. Because I mean, the history shows the Steelers do a pretty good job of drafting wide receivers, right? And so we've also made these high expectations for Steelers wide receivers because of Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and all these other guys, right? So when Pickens starts to kind of show up a little bit, it's like, oh my God, he's the next Antonio Brown. Like, not crazy Antonio, like good football Antonio. But he's kind of gearing towards crazy Antonio too. Like, he started a fight today in camp. And kind of like just, but you're right. He's kind of a knucklehead. For me, kind of I'm like I said earlier, I'm looking for value. So if I can take Pickens and move down a tier and pick up a pick so that I can, you know, buy a player during the season when somebody gets hurt, because everybody gets hurt in this league. So, you know, I'm going to do something like that. I don't think I have any Pickens. I think I had some last year, and when he took off, he was gone, kind of deal. I don't try to have any emotional attachment to any single player, like, at all. And so that makes it where I try to just take the value where I can. But, you know, also you have to try and win, too. That's part of this, is winning. So, but set myself up for when it's time to win kind of deal. But I'm with you with Russ here. If he can show us, and not just him, but the offense as a whole can show us 3, 4, 5 games in a row of, like, you know, they're putting up 400 yards a game kind of deal, not like 250 to 300 yards, and they're throwing the ball and it's just not all garbage time kind of deal. I think that'll make his value go up. But right now we've got to see it before we can believe it, because we believed it before we saw it last time and got burned.
And you mentioned the third wide receiver. Don't forget that stud Allen Robinson is there.
That's right. I couldn't think of who it was, but he's getting camp hype. Yeah. And they drafted a guy. They probably drafted a guy this year and a guy last year, Calvin Austin. He's still there or not? But so there's always other
pieces also. Yeah.
And also, Russ, you mentioned Chase Claypool. I believe I don't have the numbers in front of me to back this up, but I believe that Pickens did not really improve much, like, in terms of anything once Claypool left. Like, that was during the season last year, right?
Yeah, it was during the season.
And I think if he had, he'd have more hype now, but it didn't seem to change. That's what everybody thought
was going to happen, right? But it's not like Claypool was doing anything anyway, so it's
true.
Like,
but
I get what you're... a lot of people thought that was going to happen and nothing changed.
Exactly, so yeah.
Yeah, but like, I'm at the point where this Steelers season was kind of like Trevor Lawrence rookie year. It's like, fine, ignoring this, because there was nothing anyone could do to make that team work well. So, like, I'm willing not willing to write it off as much as I was Urban Meyer, but like, I'm willing to give it a pass more than I am to, like,
I can see that
on it. Like, yeah, I was never the biggest Pickett guy, but like, I'm not going to completely just give up because of what last year was. But I want Pickens to get traded, because I hate having Pickett and Pickens on the same team, because I will never say the right name and I hate it. Okay, next we have at Dynasty Eeyore. Hey, Corey. Time to sell Lance for anything you can get yet, Rocky?
I feel like this question was directed at me. Not just by you, but when he put it on Twitter there.
Oh, yeah, I threw the Rocky part in there, yeah.
Yes,
and I'm sure he was absolutely thinking about you.
It was implied on his part.
That's a perfect question with me on.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what Ruben says, but no. Buy them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. Before Ruben
even
says
even cheaper now, things, because there's bad reports.
So this was really funny. I got an offer in TA4. It was I had Trey Lance. Someone offered me a 24 first and second from a good team.
I'd do that.
For Wait, or was that the one that he rejected from me? Man.
I'm just going to say, I don't think you have to pay a first and a second.
No, here we go. No, first, it was a first and a third. It was a first and a third for Lance and Romeo Doves. I countered asking for a first, second, and third, and they rejected.
I probably would have sold Lance for a first and a third.
Even if it was for a playoff team?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, maybe I'll send something back, but not the
exact. But that's me. I mean, I'm also 30 leagues, so whatever. I'll go do it. Go the other way somewhere else.
Oh, it's a Triadics league. I don't really care. Yeah, right. And my TA4 team isn't good, so I don't really care about making dumb trades in general. So
I've been very vocal on Lance Purdy as recently as last week. So where are you at in this whole thing, Ruben, as a 49ers fan?
So Purdy's going to start. He's next week he should be able to start practicing every day. They said this he started with practice last week, and they said it would be 2 days of throwing, day off, 2 days of throwing, and that was only going to be for about a week, and then just to kind of get him up. And so next week, and then if he really just doesn't do anything, but I mean, he's played more games than Lance. He has played more games in the NFL than Lance, and he's done more than Lance. Lance is definitely more talented. Definitely more talented, more physically talented, and everything like that. But watching
he's done more way, because he's been healthy enough. And
yes, yeah. 100%. Play more. Right. No, not arguing that. But the way that Kyle Shanahan called that offense with Purdy versus the times that he called it with Kyle, with Lance, even in non-monsoon weather in Chicago, like when he played the year before in Arizona, which Lance had probably as much time practicing as Purdy had ever had, if not less. Purdy had less. I mean, is different. He's called the game all year very, very differently with Purdy than Lance. He took shots. He took throws and stuff like that. So, as a Niners fan, I'm always whoever's going to do better. I'm not going to be one of these. You hear people for every team's like, I hope this player does bad. That's not me. Like, I want them all to do good because if they're doing good, my team's doing good. So, but I think Purdy's going to be the guy. But I don't think they'll hesitate to yank him if he's not doing well and put Lance in there. I don't think Sam Darnold plays a factor in this team at all. I think he's there just to be there kind of deal. But
he's there because Josh Johnson and Christian McCaffrey had to play quarterback in a playoff game. That's why he's there.
Yeah, just exactly. Body. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And Brandon Allen's there too. But I think that if I could get out of all my Lance shares for a first and a third like you had, I probably would. Because I'm also of the, I could, if he starts playing, I could probably go buy him back for a first and a third, if not just a first too, kind of deal. But yeah, I'm not team sell him for whatever he is because we haven't really seen him. He's had bad luck. He's had bad luck. I mean, he's very, very talented. Everybody speaks highly of him in the locker room. It's not a Zach Wilson situation where everybody thinks he's a knucklehead. I mean, he's a good kid that is just had bad luck. And he came onto a team that that was picking, even before they traded up, they were picking 12th. That had a really, really, really good roster. That shouldn't be picking that high typically. So expectations were through the roof right away. So that's kind of my thing, but I'm not sell no matter what, but I'm also not hold on to him no matter what either.
Yeah, I mean, even me, who's been a vocal Lance truther, I would sell him for a first plus. Like, I get that. He's probably worth, even before camp started, he was at best worth a late first, just given the market. And at this point, like, I've seen multiple kind of, like, Lance is not doing great reports coming up. Purdy looks good and stuff like that. So, it could be even going down, but what are you going to say, Ruben?
I was going to say, you kind of look, the defenses are always doing better at the beginning of camp and the beginning of the year, right? And that defense that they're having to play against is pretty good, even without Nick Bosa there. So, and I follow the beat writers pretty closely, and their talk is like, yeah, he's had a couple bad days and that, you know, here and there. But if you have to look at what the defense is going against, it's kind of expected. mean, last year was the same thing kind of deal. Every time it's the defense is really, really good. You go up against a really, really good defense. It's unless you're, you know, the top five, it's going to be hard.
So, Ruben, I want to ask, this is not really a fantasy question, but you know, I always take over the show when Lance comes up. Sorry, Russ. from a real NFL perspective, do you this has always been my biggest contention with this whole thing, is that you're not winning a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. Do you believe the Niners can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy as a Niners fan?
With as good of a defense and the game plan that they have, yes. I don't care that I'm not a Niners fan, that you didn't ask me.
I think that
I still don't think so. Like,
I think when they could have won last year.
Nick Foles, yeah. Maybe was the last time that happened.
Yeah, I think they could have won last year if Brock was playing like he played before the playoffs. Because if you go back and watch him in the playoffs, he wasn't playing.
I don't think he was beating Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
So
poor guy.
But that defense, and that defense just got better. Now they have, and taking.
I know the Niners' defense is good. The Eagles' defense was also almost set a record for sacks, and they still gave up 38 points to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Well, like, remember the Niners were one pass away from winning the Super Bowl like 3 years ago,
beating Mahomes, and
I still think it's a stretch to even say Brock Purdy is Jimmy Garoppolo, but that's just me.
All right, we're gonna move on.
Yeah,
yeah, we've done this a million times.
At Nick Martinez, BR. Hey, buddy, which player are you believing all the camp hype, and one player you're not? I have my favorite answer. Like, I love this question. It's the same thing with like horrible stats that like yards per carry. If it helps my argument, I'm using it. If it doesn't, I don't believe it. That's literally how I feel about camp stuff. Like, I will go, like this, all this, like, soft, small injury stuff, I ignore. The best shape of his life, he's getting all these, you know, end zone looks. These two guys have a great connection. All of that's, like, they need something to write about. Like, and it's so easy to get fans excited. And, like, I don't buy any of it. Like, literally any of it. It's fun. That's what it comes down to. Like, and again, if it helps my argument, I'm going to use it anyway. If it doesn't help my argument, it never happened, and I don't want to hear about it.
I'm going to use it to buy and or sell players is how I look at the camp hype.
Yeah, if it's useful. Yeah.
Can I go drop all the Dalton Kincaid information in the leagues that I picked, that I drafted him, and so I can sell him? Because he's supposedly, you know, tight end six in the league, in Dynasty right now, but you can't sell him for what tight end six value is. So can I use that for that kind of stuff? Yeah, totally. Or can I go buy somebody that they're down? But I think the last couple of years, I feel like we haven't seen as much down, I guess not hype, but like players, oh, this player's not doing very good in camp. It's been more the hype stuff, right? There hasn't been like, oh, so-and-so showed up out of shape kind of stuff. We haven't seen that as much, I feel like, in the last couple of years. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah,
Zeke, like a running back thing, right? Like, it was always just like Zeke and Fournette, and Roethlisberger was just a slow moving target. But
Fournette set up to OTAs 1 year like huge, and then when it came to camp, he was like 30 pounds lighter.
Exactly, because especially when you're a vet, you don't care about camp. Like, we're talking practice.
Exactly. Exactly. Alan Iverson.
Not a game.
The Raiders paying for Monday through Saturday. Sunday's free.
Yep. And then goes on to ask, in a super flex startup, how many quarterbacks are you taking over Justin Jefferson?
Oh, this is a good one.
And is Jefferson your first non-quarterback? I guess it's the next question to ask. Ruben, why don't you take this one first?
So I was looking through to try to see what my number would be, and I'm easily at 8, I think. 8 quarterbacks. I could probably make a case for 10, and depending on the scoring of the league, if it's a like heavy tight end premium, which I play mostly in now, like 1.75 or 2, it's either going to be Jefferson as my first non or Andrews/Kelsey, depending on how I'm
kind of. I was about to say, you better watch what you say, because the answer is Kelsey instead of Andrews.
It just depends. You know, if I was able to trade kind of deal, they're right there neck and neck for me, those two, from a standpoint. But I'm easily 8 quarterbacks before Jefferson, in my opinion.
I think you're crazy with 10.
Well, I can see Anthony Richardson is the other one.
Oh God, no! I'm taking Anthony Richardson.
That's where he's going, though. And
he could be hot garbage. You don't know.
Yeah, but I'm not drafting him to necessarily. He doesn't have to play on my team.
I don't think you're getting the return on Anthony Richardson getting on Justin Jefferson if you want to trade.
Superflex July ADP Richardson is QB12 at pick 18. So it's not like an unheard of buy to go take him first. So Jefferson is my first non-quarterback, and I think I go 8. I pulled up 80, you know, ADP. Oh, so Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Lamar, Herbert, Lawrence. This has Jefferson, then Fields. I'm Lawrence, Fields, Jefferson. Honestly, it's been the same in the entire non-point scoring season. That hasn't changed at all for anything. Like, that's how it's always felt to me.
So here's a follow-up. Oh, sorry, Rocky, you didn't say yours. Sorry.
Who cares? Mine's pretty similar to Russ. Except I'm iffier. I'm kind of the opposite of you, Ruben, in that I'm iffier 2 up than I am 2 down. Like, I would definitely take the first 6 over Justin Jefferson. Then Lawrence Fields, it becomes iffier to me.
I get that. I mean, I can get it. Like, it's like, I get it. I just play very heavy. Like, I want one of the top 8.
Yeah, and what I'm saying makes sense with how I tend to play.
My thing is, it's those specific players. I really like Fields and Lawrence. And like, it's really, like, I was on Fantasy Pros last week-ish, and they were talking about, like, crossroads players. And I put Trevor Lawrence up there. Like, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't have a really good season, I think he falls to that Tua Dak level where he can be making it at the beginning of the second and not be taken in the first. And don't get me wrong, I will take him all day, every day then, because, again, I don't give up on players I like, you know, nearly fast enough as I should. But, like, so I absolutely agree with what Rocky's saying. And honestly, I think that's probably the smarter way to play it. But I just really like those. Again, it's those two specific players that happen to be in that spot. And I like those two specific players. And
I will say, Lawrence, I'd be probably a little more inclined to take over Jefferson instead of not as much Field, just because I am worried, like, how much longer, like, if Fields doesn't have a good passing season this year, now that he has DJ Moore and all that, I do worry how much longer he's even going to be the starter.
Well, and they have 2 picks next year. You have to remember.
Oh, yeah, here we go. They're going to replace him. Jalen Hurts.
Yep. Yes. So here's a question that kind of follows that is, so Jefferson, we have everybody, we all agree he's like our first non-quarterback.
Yeah, he's definitely the first non-quarterback for me.
But how do you look at that with the fact that next year Kirk Cousins is not under contract for next year? Chase isn't going anywhere with Burrow, and Chase is with Burrow, and that's not getting split up for a while. I mean, does that influence you at all to maybe, could you see yourself like pushing Chase to be ahead of Jefferson?
The reasons I would say no is because the Vikings as a franchise don't seem dumb enough to not get a viable quarterback in there. Like, they don't seem like the organization to go get, I mean, I know I'm pulling for too far back. Like, okay, let's. They're not going to get Jimmy Garoppolo. They're not going to get Derek Carr. Like, they will go
Mayfield and Kyle Trask.
Yeah, like, okay, they don't seem like that kind of organization.
And I understand that, but I think they're going to be too good to pick. You know,
I don't think it's going to be a rookie. Like, so I think they're going to have to come and sign someone. Like,
Corey in the chat says Lance to the Vikings.
I think they have an ex-Niner in the front office there, actually. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation. I can see people using that logic to put Chase ahead of Jefferson.
Yeah, I could see that. But also, like, I would also like to see Chase miss less games.
I mean, valid points. Valid points. I just thought,
and again, like, it's nitpicking because they're both damn good,
right?
That it's just whatever.
They're ridiculously good.
Yeah,
and I do have a team with both of them. So
I have one of them also. It's wonderful. Quite amazing.
And Josh Allen too.
And also too, we'll see how Addison does. But Jefferson also doesn't have a Higgins and a Boyd like to help siphon off some targets.
I mean, you're saying
get off that KJ Osborne disrespect right now.
KJ Osborne is Tyler Boyd. They're the same.
Exact same.
All right. So the last question we have is at Hans Gruber hit it. What is the most Homer Niners trade you've ever made in Dynasty, and did it bite you in the ass?
Oh, I'm pretty sure this is directed at Ruben.
Yeah, that's from Alex.
Oh, you and I are not Niners homers.
Yes.
I think that is safe.
Despite how much I love Lance, I'm not a Niners homer.
I had to go look for one kind of deal because, like I said earlier, I try not to play with my heart in Dynasty. I used to in redraft. I would definitely play with my heart and make sure I had three or four Niners on my team, and that always blew up in my face. But I the year that Jimmy got to the Niners, and this was at that time, I was only in three dynasty leagues. I was in the league with Alex, which was my second league ever, and that was an all 49ers fans league. So that's always interesting. I think I traded Allen Robinson that year, which would have been in 2018, and a future first for Jimmy G when he was like taken off in those five games. And then obviously the next year he blows out his knee in week two. That future first ended up being you're not supposed to look, right, Russ? You said you don't go look, but
the guy took
Christian Kirk at the 109. But if you look three spots below that, there's Lamar Jackson, and I was like, oh, I would have taken Lamar because I know I'm taking quarterback.
You dug in. You made it worse for yourself.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah.
Oh, he took Kirk. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, that would be my most Niners homer trade that I would have done. Trade a first, and when Allen Robinson was good.
You mean always? Okay, cool. see, it's really funny, like, because I'm anti-homer when it comes to fantasy football. Like, when I was an actual fan of a team, like, when I was a Seahawks fan, I didn't like having Seahawks on my team. So, like, it never really mattered until DK came around. And then I'm just like, okay, I don't care. I want Metcalf on my teams. So I don't care. And then I just stopped caring about the Seahawks, and it made my life easier.
I kind of used to be that way with the Eagles, and then they got really awesome on offense.
And then they got good.
Yeah. And now I want all the Eagles.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, that is all of our listener questions. Let's move up. Trade addicts leagues or 12-team superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage for all leagues except for TA1. And we have another TA1 trade, which is Eric giving someone their first back that wasn't me.
Not bitter at all.
I'm very bitter. I'm very bitter. I'm not even going to let that sarcasm go. No, I am. So, okay, here's the trade. Kyler Murray, Desmond Ridder, and Miles Sanders for 2 24 firsts, a 25 firsts, 2 24 seconds, and a 25 second. While you're letting that marinate, I'm going to read it again just to try and reinforce. Kyler Murray, Desmond Ridder, and Miles Sanders for 2 24 firsts, again, one of them being this team getting their own first back, a 25 first, two and 3 seconds, you know, split amongst the 2 years. So, Ruben, do you like the players or do you like the picks?
Picks, not even close.
I'm with Ruben. I mean, this is pretty, and I'm a, you know, like Lance, Kyler is another guy I've been, you know, saying to buy all off season. But this is too. Even if you acknowledge, like, even if you decide that Kyler's worth 224 first, which that's probably debatable, I still don't like the rest of it. Like, I don't want to give a 25 first for Desmond Ridder or Miles Sanders, and then you're adding 3 seconds on top of that. Like,
Sanders no is worth what? Sanders is worth one of those seconds, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe two.
No,
I can even see two. Yeah.
24 and 25 second for Miles.
Yeah, that would be fine. But
I think I
don't
want
to. Desmond Ridder is trash to me, so I don't want to give anything of significance.
Well, I get it. He's a 1 year starter, and for someone who sold his first, that's what you want. You want to get a guy you can start.
I still don't
want to
give a first for him.
He's not I'm not saying value wise. I'm just saying why you get him on your team. I have him on a couple of teams where I don't have my first, so I need to compete. So I need a guy who's going to start. And that's Desmond Ridder because he was Well,
I think it. I can take those 20, those three firsts and 3 seconds, and go get go get better players than those three guys easily.
What hurt my feelings was, of course, me showing no chill whatsoever. I see this trade through, and I say exactly all of this stuff in the chat. Not about the trade itself, just about him giving everyone their first back except for me. And then he replies, they just wanted their first back more than you did. And I'm just like, Okay.
Eric, give him back his first.
Or maybe Eric was asking more from you than he asked from them.
So now I'm trying to get it from the other guy. I'm with you.
The first is going to go around the league without even coming back to you, isn't it?
It will never come back to me, and I'm just going to. I can't.
I need to go try and trade for
Russ. Are you the commission? Just go take it back, just for fun. Just go take
just
it back.
Just so I can taunt him with it. I need to try and trade for Russ's first in TA.
You realize I can both kick you out of the league and off of the podcast, right? I can't. No, don't leave this podcast, Rocky, ever. Until I do, and then you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the picks.
It's easily.
The I pick. Agree. Like, I like these players for their purposes. Kyler Murray is going – he's really, really good. He's going to come back this year. There's talks of him playing starting the season.
That's not happening.
I can't. I understand that medicine is improving every single day. I understand that these – I'm going to use the word people in heavy quotes. They are not human beings. Like, I understand these athletes are practically superhuman at this point, but the dude tore his ACL like 5 weeks ago. How is he starting?
What was it? Adrian Peterson was the last one that did it like super fast. And well, then he was the first one
to do it. And then all of a sudden we're just like, wait, what?
And
that man ran me. For 2,000 yards, I believe. Yeah.
But I was listening to a 49ers podcast of all things, and they were interviewing Jerry Rice, and they talked about the year he tore his ACL in week 2 in Tampa. And then he came back and played at the end of the season. Oof. I'm like, that's like unheard of. He ended up breaking his kneecap in that game because he wasn't all the way healed, but he played that same year with a torn ACL. And so that it takes somebody special kind of deal. And I'm not saying Kyler's not, but I just don't see it. I don't see him playing week 1. I think he's going to go on the PUP and he's going to be week six or seven.
But that's also the smart thing. And I'm also completely okay with that when it comes to acquiring Murray on your teams, because that's been baked in for months with me at this point. So like I get buying Murray because you can get him a little cheaper now, and because he starts playing week 6, by week 10, if you have a decent team, you have a top 6 quarterback on your team now.
Yeah, if you could have gone like 3-3 through those first 6 weeks, you could easily make the playoffs, right? Totally.
And Kyler Hawkins in 2024, I really don't think that's far-fetched, but that's
no, he's not going to be a Cardinal next year, I don't think.
No. The only thing that I have worried about Kyler is that they shelve him and go get Caleb and trade him away.
But well, I think that's definitely on the
board. Yeah, that's – but and still, like I understand going to get Kyler. I already said before I understand going to get Ridder for the purpose of what it is. And Miles Sanders I think is going to do really, really well this year. Like
it's just a very awkward purchase where you're buying Sanders who's a win-now kind of piece. Kyler's not a win now piece right now. And
Ridder is a survival piece.
A survival piece. So like
he's probably gonna start Ridder.
The idea, yeah, I was just gonna say the idea might be to start Ridder while you're waiting for Kyler. Yeah.
But that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
For me it's easily the picks.
See, and this trade in TA7 is one of the reasons why I would never want Rocky to leave, because he is all about the content. He did this trade as we were in here on the stream yard waiting to start. And he's like, I'm just going to take it. In TA7, Rocky traded Amari Cooper and a 25 first for wow. I don't edit, but I would edit that part out if I did. Rocky traded Amari Cooper and a 25 first for Devonta Smith. I think it's a good price for Devonta. I really, 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 really like Devonta. And oh man, did you see that video of him doing the ladder drills today?
Yeah, I think somebody said don't ever show ladder drills from anybody else ever again. Kind of deal.
That man's feet, like it was a blur. It was like, my heart was pounding watching that. And this is a good price. Like it was fun. Like it was.
I'm probably team Cooper in first, just because I'm one that's gonna accrue the value. I don't think there's a huge difference from Smith to Cooper. I think they're maybe a tier, tier and a half apart kind of deal, and I'll take the first. But that's just the way I play kind of deal.
See, I think there's a significant difference there. Maybe not for 2023, but...
Oh, is it 25 first? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it for a 24 first.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's a 25 first. We don't even know if we'll be here in 25.
So, it's not like Kyle Shanahan, the world might end by Sunday. Yeah, exactly.
Jim Irsay said basically the same thing too last week. So I will take Smith. I thought it was a 24. I'll take Smith for that.
Yeah, Casey came at me asking for a 24 pick and a pick that should be early. And I'm like, I want Devonta so bad, but I can't do that. And then he gets this offer and he's like, I don't know if I should take it. I'm like, look, go look at my team. And if there's something you want for Devonta, you let me know and we'll turn this into a three-way trade if we have to. But then he's just like, you know what? It's value. I'll take it. And honestly, I think it's the right move.
That's what it came down to for me. And to be fair, when I was talking about it with Russ, the only reason I was concerned, I think it's value-wise for me, because it's 25 and not 24, it's pretty easily Smith for me. But my team is very borderline playoff, and I don't love the idea of giving up even a 25 first. That was the only reason I was hesitating. But as me and Russ were talking about it, it was like the value was on the Devonta side. Maybe I can turn Devonta to 24 first if my team is total garbage or something, you know, 24 first plus or something like that.
If your team falls apart, you can sell for Devonta for more than that, than Amari in a 25 first.
That was what I thought. The value.
You could probably sell him for Amari.
To Rust.
And a 24 first, right? Like you could upgrade, move the first up a year easily.
Yeah. And I just want me some Devonta Smith on my team. And it's like, I want to, you know, I love that we have this thing here where we could absolutely say we practice what we preach. And in the non-point scoring season, value really is what matters. Even if it doesn't 100% fit Rocky's team, and especially when he was physically talking to me at the moment, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, no, I made the value on this trade, and then I could move it to see what value I can get that would be better for my team than Amari in the 25 first, exactly what Ruben just said also. And like, so I wanted to actually take the second to point this out, that it, now that we are getting close, it's August, there's football happening now. So you do start need to worry about your lineups a little bit, but in the league named Trade Addicts, you don't have to nearly just yet. So like making the moves for value really in an active league is to me the right move for now.
Yep.
And we're still in the now. So I like this trade for both of you. You were talking before about, you know, Casey's team situation not being great, but she also doesn't have her first. So getting Cooper for this year makes sense, and getting a 25 first where I think she has her 25 first. So she can start in that 25 class building, she could start her rebuild there. So like, I think this is a great trade, and I'm just sad I don't have Devonta yet.
Yet is the key word.
Is the key word. The last trade.
I may want tea though, Russ.
What?
I may want tea. You have tea in that league. Or should I say tree?
Oh, I forgot to make it. I went looking for a tree, like a wooden tree that I could paint and put hang up over there, but I forgot to actually order it. I did not forget about that at all whatsoever. That's going to be an interesting one. You're going to kill me on that one, but we'll talk about that next week after we put the trade together. The last trade we have is Trade Addicts 10, where we have Geno Smith, Bryce Young, and David Njoku for Justin Herbert and Tank Dell. See, I love this because I got an offer that I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was, oh, hold on. I can actually find it because I texted people about it where I was just like, the offer was Jamar Chase and Dwayne Eskridge for Josh Jacobs, Jalen Waddle, and a 25 first. And my response, I didn't send it to this person, but like what I texted to my friends was, did he think adding Dwayne Eskridge was going to tip the scales in any way, shape, or form? Like same here, like adding Tank Dell. And then, of course, the voice of reason that John Bosch is, was like, well, that's probably the person who's going to cut after the trade if it was making the legal roster. And I'm like, well, while my leagues aren't like that, I feel better with that. That makes logical sense. I'm okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's. My leagues aren't like that either. You can make illegal roster moves.
Yeah.
I guess I hate not trades not going through right away. I hate that it's just like, oh, drop a guy and
Just make it so they can't submit a lineup and you'll be good.
That never works out.
Just make it so they never care about adding these random players into a trade. I'm with you, bro.
All right. So Ruben, this last trade. Gino, Bryce Young, David Njoku for Justin Herbert and Tank Dell.
I think I want to go Herbert. I'm also kind of a Herbert homer. I'm a big Oregon Ducks fan. And part of that is I think Gino is going to turn into a pumpkin at some point. And we don't know what Bryce Young is. He's also I think my dog might weigh more than him, so he could get broken in half pretty easily.
I'd watch your dog close. Back, though. Just putting it out.
It's close, though. It's close. I think it's pretty close, but I probably would go Herbert just because I always like to get a top eight quarterback, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, I'm also throwing Tank Dell in there, so, you know, getting that. So that should be good.
All right, real quick before we keep talking about this trade, how long were you holding out on Marcus Mariota actually hitting in the NFL?
Actually, not too long. It was about two seasons, and that was about it.
Oh, man, I think it was two seasons ago where I finally gave up on him. Damn, I thought I had someone with me. Yeah, I get it. I get that you are getting three players. Okay, two players you can start this season. And I don't think last year will easily probably be Geno's best year ever. But he'll do fine. He has really good pass catchers right now. He might not have a running back, so they might not be able to run the ball, so he might be throwing a lot. Like, you're starting Geno. Bryce Young, I think, is really good. I really do like him. I think he'll do well enough this year to be a starting top 24 quarterback. How about that? And I think he'll get better as time goes on. David Njoku, I think, is a third-ish tier tight end, like one of those pluggable guys where you feel okay starting him. Not quite Freiermuth where you feel safe, but, like, you feel okay starting him. And Justin Herbert is really, really good. I really, really do like him. But I also think I send these three guys for Justin Herbert without really thinking about it.
Yeah. I want the Tank Dell side. Sorry, I just thought of that. I had to say it.
That's awesome.
But no, for real, I think it's pretty easily the Herbert side for me because I'm with Ruben. I think Gino turns back into a pumpkin, and Bryce Young is nice and hope, but I don't like moving off Herbert for a rookie that we have. He could totally suck. We don't know. I don't think he will. But
which is why it's impossible to trade with Rocky because he never has anything young on his team.
You would never have Herbert or buy him. So,
oh, I want to see them do well in the NFL. That's Rocky. That was Rocky right there.
I actually have a Herbert share too, but I don't know if I have any Bryce Young. But anyway, I don't like moving off Herbert for if I did have Herbert, if I was going to trade down from Herbert. I don't want a rookie and Gino turning back into a pumpkin. So for me, it's pretty easily Herbert. And yeah, Njoku's a nice little piece to throw in there, but he doesn't move the needle for me. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Ruben, for coming on. And thank you for showing up this time. I hope nothing actually bad happened last
time. No, we had.
That was the week of the solo show, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had plans that wasn't in my calendar, and that's what happened.
But you can't say your wife was wrong. You can't do it. Yeah, you got to go.
It was all Ruben's fault.
Yep.
Well, before we do head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Ruben Almada at SuperflexDGen on Twitter, and you can find the Coast to Coast Dynasty podcast on anywhere you listen to pods. I'm also pretty heavily in the Dynasty Trades and HQ Patreon and the Dynasty Chills. Dynasty and Chill Patreon as well.
So you just love Shane is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I do actually do like Shane quite a bit. I think he's a good person and he's always a wonderful fun
human being. I love that man. And holy hell,
likes people that curse a lot because he's also pretty active in the hot sauce group. Me too. So.
Oh yes, yeah. I'm.
You have a type.
Shane is definitely the. His Twitter name is definitely not accurate.
Yeah, that's why it's funny. Shane is the worst. Shane is not the worst. Shane is absolutely the best. Mm-hmm. Our spiel, what do we have? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Hang out with us while we record. Talk to us. Tell us everything we miss. at force me to talk about things I don't want to talk about, all the fun stuff, and also the awesome Discord chat we have going on. And other than that, it's still Fantasy Cares time. It's always Fantasy Cares time. And there's still a couple of days left where you can go to rotowire.com/donate to get a free trial for rotowire.com. And for every trial, $1 gets donated to Fantasy Cares. So go. It's free, but gives Fantasy Cares money. I like money. Fantasy Cares likes money. You like free stuff. All right, everyone, I'm going to sleep. Ruben has to leave, and he's waving a lot, so I guess we got to go. I was going to talk for another hour, but that's fine. Bye. No, no, we'll end the show, Ruben. It's fine.
See you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
Bye.
Good night,
Rob. Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Great Attic Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.